You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful night, and thank you so much for tuning in and supporting all that we're doing here on the podcast. It's been amazing. You guys have been amazing out there checking us out and subscribing and downloading, and it's just a real pleasure. Of course, I'm your host, Brent Thomas. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast, and once again, special thanks to Revolver Podcast for making all this possible. Ready to go with you guys for tonight. There's a couple of things I wanted to share with you, some real odd stories that I had pulled up, and they've been up on my computer for a while because they were shows that we were doing or have done, but we didn't ever get to these little pieces, odds and ends. So I wanted to open the tonight show with this, because I think that this kind of phenomenon, I don't know. I think it's just really fantastic, and it's really exciting because it demonstrates, I mean, I don't know what else could be quite as convincing, other than, if if your TV turns on, that's pretty convincing too, and shows a video of your child talking about you on this show, then that's that's pretty convincing. But I think that this kind of phenomenon is really amazing. And it's a rare phenomenon, but it does come up. It does happen. And I think this is really pretty epic. So let me read this to you. And it's a very quick blurb. I'm sure you could find more of this story, and maybe I will try to find more of an explanation for this. But it says, Charles Peck died in Chatsworth train crash of 2008. His fiance heard about the accident on the radio as she was going to pick him up. Rescuers found Peck dead 12 hours after the crash, but in the 11 hours prior, Peck made calls to his fiance, his mother, his brother, and several other family members. Everyone hoped that the calls meant Peck was still alive, but doctors found that he died on impact. How's that for weird, huh? Now, I think that's, again, we talk about that often, but I don't think there's a whole lot of problem for spirits to manipulate electronic devices, and of course, phones are no exception. There's so many hundreds and thousands of stories of people having, well, for instance, the television. experience that my mom has gone through, and you know, she shared it with me, and so it's my experience as well, but once removed, because it didn't happen here, but she did call and share it with me as it was happening and then videoed it, which I showed on the show. But many people talking about, in fact, my cousin, he had an incident where he woke up in the middle of the night. It was probably 2 or 3 in the morning, and he heard a little girl giggling next to his ear, and looked over and nobody was there, but his clock radio. Now this is an old time clock radio, no digital. There was no digital clock radios back then. This is like in the maybe the 70s, late 70s, maybe early 80s, but there might have been some clock radios that were digital back then, but most of them were those flip, you know, the numbers were like cut in half and they'd flip, and they were, I mean, those things still last forever. I still see shops with those things in them. They were built so incredibly tough, but, and it also had the dial to change the stations. Well, he heard the giggle, looked to his left and looked at his clock radio, and he could hear that it turned on and saw the light come on the radio panel. Because it wasn't like a digital display like most of you guys might be familiar with now. It was like a long, thin, I don't know, what, like a chart. And they'd have the numbers on there. And he could see the dial going up and down really slowly. And he could hear the stations coming in and out. It was on really faintly. And he said it freaked him out so bad he just backed out of his room and went to the hallway and just sat down and just kind of held his knees and stared at it. He was absolutely terrified. There's so many stories of that. There's stories of old time radios turning on and that don't even have power and playing old time music on them. So just something really amazing with the electronic phenomena that really defies explanation. Unplugged fans start blowing, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm sure you've heard them if you've been listening to the show for any period of time, but very, very wild. I just think that's a really cool story, and I wanted to share that with you. Another one, which is the last one on this page, is a young girl predicted she would die in a landslide of coal. It says, I think it's Errol Mai Jones, was 10 years old when she predicted that the pile of coal waste perched over her town in Aberfan, Wales, would cause a dangerous landslide. She told her mom, "I dreamed I went to school and there was no school there. Something black had come down all over it." And just a few weeks later, a pile of coal fell onto the school, killing 116 children, including Jones. Oh man, what a heartbreaker. Wow. So she dreamed it. That was a premonition. And last night, I kind of touched on a little bit on premonitions, and those are tough for me because I know that some things, it seems like there's a real differential between, you know, predicting the future. Some things appear meant to happen, like they're supposed to happen, and it's so impossible for us to understand why. I mean, I don't understand why would a pile of coal need to fall and kill a bunch of children, but those events just seem predetermined. Now, there's so many other events, especially in terms of personal choice, that seem to be able to be shifted and changed. And that's my disconnect with the whole premonition thing. And Deb talks about this as well when she's on the show. She talks about, hey, you know, if you hear a reading, if you get a reading and you're not comfortable with it, change it. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, we are creator beings. I really believe that with all my heart. You'll hear that in many different shows on TFR, and it's something I believed ever since I was a little kid. Like we create our absolute all of our experience, mostly subconsciously. I don't think that we're mostly aware that we're doing it, but it's something that we put out there. And it's not just like, oh, if you feel like it's going to be a bad day, it probably will be a bad day. It's more like you are manifesting things all around you at all times, everything in your life. And we are co-manifestors of a whole bunch of things as well. So as such, when you get a reading, what the reading is generally the person doing the reading can basically see how that energy is going to manifest in your life, or in Deb's case, it's her guides can tell how things are going to manifest in your life the way things are. If you don't like that reading, or if you want to change that, you can. And you can start by consciously manifesting something different. And you can do that through meditation. You can do that through so many, you know, other ways, including different choices and et cetera, that, you know, may put you in a whole different situation. You know, we are empowered. And that's the one thing Deb has always said. You are able to change your readings. You are able to, it's not a failure always of the reader. Now, there's nobody doing readings that's 100%. There is nobody. There's no such thing. It's sometimes hard for any reader to separate what may be their own emotion from a reading. I know Deb is exceptionally adept at it and does a brilliant job. She's no doubt one of the best I've ever heard of, you know. But things can be changed. And so that's where the disconnect last night for me with the premonitions was, is that, you know, I don't like to ever think that everything's already been planned. I know some New Age philosophies are like, your life has already been planned. It's already been planned. You decided long before you ever came into this earth what you were going to do and how you're going to do it. Well, at that point, why? What is the use? If it's already planned, if everything that can happen has been predetermined, then it's an exercise in simulation, and that's about it. You know, it's like kind of like the graphic I put up. I planned ahead of time. I designed it. I built it. I made it fly through space. I made all those particles appear. And then I hit run, and it was playing my simulation. But, you know, which in and of itself was really fun and rewarding, but our lives have forks in the road. And I'm sorry to get real philosophical and preachy, and I don't often do this, but I think it's right now is such an important time, and I think it's really important for people to be empowered, to know that you are empowered to create your situation. So many people I know and love right now are absolutely struggling, and they're really working. They're really good people, but the situation in their life is not really good. And so I think it's really important that we become actualized in our manifesting of reality. That is key. And, you know, you can do it. You do it already. But it's just that you've got to take it off of that autopilot and change it. And you can change it in every decision, every choice you make. Make sure it's the most positive, best choice you can possibly make. You know, when you're confronted with, should I stay home and get that thing done that I've really been wanting to do? Or do I go out with my buddies because they called and they're hitting the town? Well, if you don't take care of the thing that you should do, you can't expect a lot of good things to come out of that. You know, I mean, that's a really abstract comparison, but you know what I'm saying? So just change your energy, change what you're pushing out, because the universe responds to that. Energy follows intention. So if you're unhappy with some circumstances in your life, change your frequency, change your vibration, shoot that out into the world around you, and the world will reflect it back eventually. It sometimes takes a while. Nothing's instant. I do believe in them. It's just that I don't think that any premonition has to be the way things go. That as we become empowered, we can change and we can create things, and we won't need to worry about what's coming, because we'll know, because we're building it. But I hope you guys understand what I'm saying. And again, I'm not trying to be preachy. This is just my opportunity to share with you what I believe, what is working for me. And if it fits, great, take it. If it doesn't, discard it. I'm just putting it out there. So thank you guys for indulging that little pontification, and I'll continue with the ghost stories. So I'm glad that we got that one covered. So anyway, what was this one? Oh, I did pull this up. This one I think I'm going to save. This is another one from Disclosed TV, but it's I don't know if I can use the images, though. Ah, I'll close it. I thought it was interesting, though. It was basically talking about several large, large people, like the Robert Wadlow or whatever, the guy from the Guinness Book of World Records who was 9 feet something, and several other really large people that are depicted in that article. They're saying, are they a genetic carryover from when giants were wandering the earth? And that's an interesting thing. I don't know. Could that be, or is it just a chromosomal thing where something misfires and they get a lot of extra growth than they're supposed to? I don't know. But pretty cool article all the same. Try to make your own fate. Exactly, Nadine. Thank you. I'm trying to catch up on what you guys were saying. But I think that's so important, is to know. So many times in our lives, we feel absolutely helpless. We feel absolutely like we are adrift on this big current and we're being pushed into the rocks and against all kinds of obstacles, pushed through small spaces and forced. And, you know, we feel absolutely powerless, but you are empowered. You are all empowered. So let's get to some other stories here, huh? What about that? This one's not too long. I've had attacks all my life. It's coming out of South Dakota, by the way. We don't see too many from South Dakota, but then again, I don't know how many people are in South Dakota. I think as far as population is concerned, it's not really a huge, hugely stacked state. So I've had attacks all my life, as long as I could remember. And it sort of became part of my life, I guess. These nightly attacks affected my everyday life. Sometimes I was too scared to go to sleep, and I never told anyone. When an attack happened, I awoke suddenly, knowing the attack was going to occur, and something putting pressure on my whole body, it always made my head hurt, head turn to the left. I would scream out my sister's name, and she would never wake up, because it was just air coming out, and I would try to fight it, but I couldn't. A couple of years ago, it got physical at my friend's, and I could see a circle floating, and it was a bright red and then turned black, and it flew at me and hit my chest, and the attacks take so much energy, I fall asleep right after. When I awoke a few minutes later, I ran to the mirror, and a big red circle appeared where it had hit. These past years, I fight it off. The attack happens whenever it wants to, and my family says it's stress and to forget about it, and they always say that. I believe it may be something more, and I feel someone is with me all of the time. I'm scared of seeing far too much, and I have so much of life ahead of me, and having to think about this, it's really affected my life. I break down after it happens because it really does frighten me. There was even a 1 or 2 foot spirit that visited me once. It walked slowly towards me, and as I was napping, and I could hear the feet sliding on the carpet, and the carpet covers were blocking my view to see what it was. But I kept breaking free from the pressure and its grip. In my head, I told it that I wasn't scared and that I would fight it. And then it walked out. And to this day, I still don't know what to think of the attack. Feels like they get worse as I grow. I need answers. Can anyone help me? Yeah, and again, this is one of those stories that's from many years ago. So, good story, and demonstrates that sleep paralysis really well, or sleep paralysis. But yeah, it's a tough thing. That's one I've experienced plenty, and it's absolutely frustrating as hell. That's all I can say. You can't move. Something's just pinning you. But again, I hope that person's grown out of it. This one's coming out of Massachusetts, and says, last February, I moved into a new apartment with my boyfriend, and since then, our relationship has been on the rocks. So the relationship's been on the rocks, and that's can be a real indicator of a negative presence hanging around. You know, it's not always an inundation from the spirit. It's just that these people may be pretty sensitive as well, and they may be picking up on just that energy of the creature being there, or the being being there. The being there. You know, I think that, you know, depending on how empathic those people are, Either it's an actively attacking them, or it's just by virtue of it being there, maybe affecting their relationship and causing stress. So I guess that's why our good friend Jeffrey Seelman says, if you got a ghost, get rid of it. It doesn't matter what you think, good or bad, just get rid of it. So it says the marriage was on the rocks. Within this past year, I've definitely been feeling something in the bedroom and sometimes in the bathroom with me. Usually it was just that the sense of a presence being there. And sometimes I would hear my name and then I started feeling it getting on the bed. At first I thought I was just imagining it all. I'd tell myself it was the dog jumping up in the bed and then realize that he was already asleep next to me. And that's when I would get scared and start saying my prayers until I fell asleep. I told a friend who practices Santeria about what I was experiencing, and he told me that there was a spirit following me because he was jealous of my blessings. I thought my friend had gotten rid of him for a while, and then the other day, after my boyfriend and I decided to break up, I felt a presence get on the bed with us, and you're kidding. And I took advantage of her, is all I'm going to say. I can't read that. I thought I was losing my mind. I kept tossing and turning, but I could still feel it over me. I could even feel the bed moving with the rhythm. And I knew the dog was under the bed, so it couldn't be him. My boyfriend was in the bed next to me, but I didn't say anything for fear that he would think I was absolutely crazy. The next day, I found a framed prayer and I had hanging in the bedroom doorway, broken on the floor, and a weight, I kept behind the door in the way of opening the door. Oh, now, hold on. The next day, I found a framed prayer I had hanging in the bedroom doorway, broken on the floor, and a weight I kept behind the door in the way of opening the door. Oh, okay. That freaked me out because I know the weight wasn't there before, and the picture seems to have lifted itself off of the wall because the hook on the wall and the frame were fine. It was just the wood frame that was cracked. I told my boyfriend about the picture and the weight, and then about last night, and he said he had been awake too and felt the bed moving but thought it was the dog until I reminded him that he was the one that kicked the dog off the bed. My boyfriend immediately tried to call the most spiritual woman he knew, his mom. And while sitting on the bed in the bedroom twice, he tried to tell her what happened while in there, and both times the phone cut service. It wasn't until he went into the bathroom that the phone stayed on. I'm going to be moving into a new apartment by the end of the week, and I'm afraid that the spirit will follow me. He doesn't seem to necessarily want to hurt me, but he seems to be getting stronger, or at least bolder. Is there anything I can do to make sure I'm left alone? I really feel like the spirit is laughing at me and happy that we're broken up, but I'm not trying to have this go on forever. Can you tell a ghost to get an afterlife? Bum bum bump. Ah, that's creepy though. Ah. I don't know what to think of those, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. I don't think that's a spirit in the traditional sense. I don't. I think the fact that there was a sexuality to it would seem to preclude, I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. I guess I'm really just guessing, but I would assume if we're in our spiritual form, we probably don't have that biological urge for, you know, that sexuality. I just don't know. Maybe we do. Maybe it's on an energetic level though, because I mean, true intimacy is beautiful. I mean, it's the sharing and it's the most vulnerable and the most intricate joining of two energy fields possible. It's a sharing of energy. It's it's an amplifier as well. I mean, it's if you know. I mean, you can just have, you know, empty liaisons, and that's fine. And those are just physical. But if you're truly emotional and doing those things, then it's an incredibly strong and beautiful thing. And it's, you know, almost like, you know, touching a different plane of existence. You know, so I mean, there's nothing inherently bad about that, but I don't know. I guess I don't know. You guys will have to tell me what you think. Do you think spirits of the living, you know, when they pass, will retain those kind of desires? I'm curious what you guys have to say about that. So you can call in. It's 720-923-0500. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Because I don't know. I'm torn. I'm kind of torn right down the middle on that one. It's like, do we leave that behind as it's more of a biological function, or is it more of a spiritual function? I mean, is it truly an esoteric act as well as a physical act? Or is it an esoteric act that is physical or can be? Or is it an esoteric act completely? Or is it just a physical act and, you know, it's that whole endorphin thing, you know? Let me know what you guys think, because I'm really not sure, to be honest with you. I don't know. Wow. What a horrible feeling, though. I mean, it's not even, you know, there's no consent in that situation. There's no like, well, okay, you know, it's just horrible. It leaves me with just such a gross feeling. I don't know. I'm confused. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here, the Paranormal Portal podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. This one's coming out of Alaska, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, these are some there's one, two, and three. There's three things in this story, three occurrences. The first one has been happening to me for a while, and every night when I get home, I would see this creature at the side of my house, half hidden in shadow. And I say creature because it wasn't human-like, it was really more animalistic. It could have been a bear, but I kept trying to get a closer look, and it would either disappear or just run away and vanish. And well, a good friend of mine told me to get a flashlight and see if it was transparent or solid. I did, and the light went through the thing, but it didn't illuminate its shape at all. I saw the light on my neighbor's house behind it, and it just disappeared right in front of me. Then my friend posed a theory, and I recalled this dog who lived down the street from my house, and I only saw him once, and that was when I returned to him to his home. I returned him to his home after he ran away. I pet him and took him home, only to see his owner beat him with a shovel. Oh my God. I felt so bad for this dog, whose name was Maximus, but there wasn't anything I could do since I had no proof of the abuse. Well, I don't know. I think you make a you press charges and let the court figure out if you got a proof or not. Maximus was never seen again, and a new puppy showed up outside the house. I assume that he's run away again, but now I think he's dead, and his spirit is haunting me. My buddy thinks that it could be because I was nice to him, and he wants to make sure I'm safe. But I'm not sure. Man, I don't understand that. I know pets can be little tools and they can sure, you know, push buttons and stuff, but I mean, come on, with a shovel. I mean, even just smacking them, I don't know. To each his own, I guess. I mean, I don't advocate hurting anything, you know, except mosquitoes. Those little bastards can go to hell. but outside of mosquitoes. So the next one this person reports is, I'm not entirely sure if this is supernatural in nature, so I'll just let you decide. And I was in the shower and I had just gotten over a fever, so I was pretty tired. And well, I felt like I was being pushed to sleep. But I resisted and I looked down and saw blood in the water. Curious as to where it was coming from, I bent down and then it started going down my leg. And I lifted my hand and saw a huge gaping wound on my wrist. There was so much blood slowly oozing out that it was black in color. In a sort of shock, I lifted my other hand and saw the identical wound, and I freaked and screamed and cried and grabbed a towel and that I pressed between my wrists as hard as I could to stop the bleeding, and then I sat in the tub and wept. Then I woke up sitting in the tub with the shower running still, and I had the towel pressed between my wrists, and there was fresh blood on the towel, but there wasn't any evidence of the wounds on my wrist. Any ideas as to what might have caused this? Supernatural or not, I guess that's up for you to decide. And then the last one is, the final thing happened last night around 11. I heard my name being whispered angrily. I don't know what that was. I heard my name being whispered angrily, and then I sat up and was slapped across the face. Not too pleasant, but that's all that happened. I hope you read and have any insights, let me know. It sounds like you got a lot going on. I mean, the whole blood thing, I honest to God, if it was coming from the wrists, I don't know, would that be a, could that potentially be the stigmata? I mean, it didn't hurt. The person felt no pain when it happened. They just saw the blood in the shower and looked down and saw the gaping wound in one wrist, looked at the other wrist, and there was a gaping wound in that. And, you know, then grabbed a towel, sat down, and was kind of fell asleep, drifted off, and then woke up with a bloody towel, but no wounds. I mean, that, honest to God, sounds like the stigmata to me. I don't know, you know, how you guys feel about that, and I know that it has religious ramifications, but, I mean, there are apparently a few accounts of that happening, and it has a lot to do with someone's dedication to their faith, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe a strong sense of piety or something. I don't know. But not sure. That one's different. I have never heard a submission like that before on a ghost forum. That's very interesting. Now the dog one is really breaking my heart, though. That just really hurts. Ugh. The next one's coming out of Texas. And that's because it's Texas. All right, so let's see what's going on in Texas. So out of Texas, when I was about 12, maybe 13, I was sitting in my mom's room watching her TV, lounging, and my mom's room has a bathroom adjacent to the door and was closed tightly. I started hearing something pounding on the bathroom door like a dog might if it was trapped, and we had two inside dogs and one outside at the time, so I thought that Bogey, my border collie, had somehow trapped herself in there and was trying to get out. The pounding on the door was very loud and scared me really badly because I thought that I was alone in the room. I couldn't remember either of the inside dogs coming into the room to be with me, and I figured that one of them went to sleep in the bathroom prior to the door being closed and had woken up and wanted out. I got up to let out the dog from the bathroom because I didn't want him or her or him to be freaking out locked in there and having a puppy coronary. It was very cold near that door, which was very odd considering I live in Texas and it's hotter than dog snot on most days. And as I approached the door, Bogey, my dog, walked into the room and stopped right next to me at my feet, looking at the bathroom door and growling. Realizing that there could not have been anyone else in the bathroom, The dog and I ran like hell into the kitchen where everybody else in the house was helping prepare dinner at the time. I know, I was just being lazy. My mom asked me why I was banging on the door, which means she heard the noise, and I told her that I had not, and told her what had happened, but she blamed my overactive imagination and believed that I was trying to scare my younger brothers, who were looking at me like I had lost my mind. It should be noted that the other inside dog was sitting at my younger brother's feet begging for spaghetti, and our outside dog was outside enjoying the warm Texas sunshine. I will admit to nothing, but I did enjoy scaring my kid brothers once in a while. However, this time I had not been trying to scare anyone, least of all myself. I still wonder what could have happened if I had opened the door, because I got an angry vibe from whatever it was on the other side. It wasn't like the green mass with a face that I saw when I was 5 or 6, but it was definitely scary. Oh, there's the green mass story is another one. Let's get to the next one. Oh, there's a call. There's Deb. Deb would be a good one to answer that. Deb, how you doing? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Miss Deb, how are you?
Okay.
Good. So do you got some insight for me on this question?
Yes.
Okay, please tell me.
I had put it on there, but I guess you didn't see it. Out of all of the spirits that I have dealt with, I have actually, there's love, there's compassion. They miss them. They do wish they'd been with them, but I have never dealt with one that, still had the rodeo dough thing going on.
Okay. Well, that's what I would think too, but I don't know. You know, I know that this comes up every once in a while in our stories, and usually, I can tell from the title, and I don't read them on the show just because, you know, I don't want to get all funky in here, but it's just one of those things that if it is happening, it seems to me it must be some kind of non-human energy, a low vibrational energy or something, huh?
That's what I would think, because any stories that I have heard about it, incubus and succubus come up.
Right. Well, there is that. You're right. You're absolutely right. So that's oddly enough. I don't know why those names didn't come into my head. But yeah, I mean, of course, incubus and succubus are known for that. So that's a good point. Now, that could probably be then an incubus, as it was getting in the way of the relationship and trying to create that void between them and wedge them apart, and then was also preying upon the woman. So that's a great point. Thank you.
You're welcome.
See, and now Diane's also on hold too. So we're going to get two takes on this, which is good. I mean, you guys are the best, of the best that could call in regarding this, because you guys deal with spirits all the time. So that's amazing.
Okay, well, I'll go so you can talk to Sis.
All right. Take care, and thank you so much, Deb. Love you.
You're welcome. Love you. Bye, everybody.
Okay, everybody. I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. All right, so let's see what Miss Diane has to say about this. Hi, Diane, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you?
I got in a little late, and I only heard kind of the last part of it, so I'm taking it that this question is, do they still have
desires? Yeah.
Carnal visits do they still have sex in the afterlife?
Right. So, and this is, withstanding non-human entities, I'm just talking about human spirits when they pass, do they retain those carnal desires? Is that something that goes with them, or is that not usually the case in your experience?
In my experience, and also in a lot of people's experience, there is actually, I remember somebody wrote a book about women who have had, many, many women have experiences of their deceased husbands wanting to visit them, visiting them, and having relations with them.
Now that's
interesting. It's actually very common. But you don't hear about it much.
Well, no, and I imagine those are probably, for the most part, pretty private.
Yes, very private.
But that is interesting, though. So is it, at that point, though, is it an expression of that love? And so it's not so much carnal as it is just an expression of that love.
I would say probably so.
Okay.
I mean, I have... I'm not going to go into detail, but I have a deceased loved one who visits me.
Right, okay.
So, yeah. It is more about love. However, that doesn't stop it from being pretty interesting sometimes. So,
oh, I love you, Dee. You're so awesome.
I don't want to go too far on the, on a show like yours, but honestly... there has been stuff written about this, and it's not. You are gonna get a lot of the incubus succubus stuff on this because that happens too. Unfortunately, that does happen, and I will say that if you are doing something that knocks your spirit out of the out of your body, so that something else can jump in. A lot of times, that something else will have the same. Will try to live out the same addictions it had when it was alive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I've run into that.
Okay.
So whether that be drinking or something else or anything else, it could be that. So that is another possibility. So you got three different sort of scenarios there to choose from.
Okay.
Could be incubus, succubus, could be... somebody getting temporarily possessed by an earthbound. That has happened.
Okay.
And it could be somebody returning for a connubial visit out of the to relive the love that they shared in life, and which is a beautiful thing, I would think. I would hope.
Yeah, I think that is. I mean, that's of course it's an expression of that love, and anything. Anything that is an expression of love, true love anyway, not just somebody's twisted version of it, but, if it's truly love, then it's a beautiful thing.
Right. The other stuff I'd say we really want to avoid.
Yeah.
Because there's also been stories that I've heard of people having sort of stray beings coming into their... And once again, a couple of times, this wasn't really even an incubus or succubus, and an isolated incident, but I have had people kind of confess to me that they have had somebody come through and just want to have some fun and move on. So I don't know. That sounds to me, though, like it would have to be either an earthbound or something.
Right. Yeah, and of course, I think that incubus and succubus are probably the most well known, but I'm sure there's other low vibrational entities that are probably do the same thing, or at least can do that same kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I'm quite sure, and I'm quite sure that there are definitely some non-human entities that would do that just to. Annoy and irritate and make miserable a human. Yeah, I
can
see where. As a matter of fact, I heard recently of something like that.
Oh, did you?
It wasn't a human, but it was sexually aggravating somebody.
Okay. Is that something you can share or no?
I don't know if I can really share too much about it, but...
Okay.
Well, okay, I can do it in just the most general terms.
Okay.
They claim to be her guide, and then it was just such a disrespectful relationship.
Oh, dear.
That it became apparent that this was not a guide. So, unfortunately, though, quite a lot of water had gone under the bridge by that time, and then they didn't know how to get rid of that. So we had to get rid of that. So,
but you got to clear it out anyway.
Yes, okay. It can be cleared. All of that stuff can be cleared, but you just got to really first figure out what you're dealing with. And I mean, you know, I will say that my mother, unfortunately, and this is unfortunate for her.
Okay.
In my mother's case, she thought that she was being, she was one of them that thought she was being visited by her husband. Now, it wasn't anything too elaborate, but it was somebody that would come in every now and then and stroke her leg.
Oh, okay.
And thought it was one of her husbands, you know, either her father or her second husband. But that turned out to be neither one, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. And
yeah, we had to deal with that. So it wasn't anything too, like, major, but it was something that definitely was had to be gotten rid of, because it's like, you know, don't go stroking women, strange women in the middle of the night, even if you are a wandering spirit, that isn't cool.
Right.
You know, you're coming up on people when they're trying to sleep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it took a little while, though, to convince her that it wasn't. It's like, I'm sorry, but it wasn't, and I don't know if I ever convinced her.
Oh, okay.
But I did, you know, I'm protecting you, and I got to move this thing on, so. Anyway, and the other thing is that if the person is really lonely and kind of desperate, they'll call the thing right back to them.
Oh, sure, yeah. I suppose that, you know, any kind of contact is, you know, probably better than, you know, being lonely and sad and, you know.
Yeah, than living in isolation.
Right.
I suppose that's how some of these things do get started, is a feeling of isolation, and then, you know, as time goes on, then it gets, usually with cases like that, as time goes on, it gets less and less about love and more about dominance, and then finally the person hopefully realizes that it isn't love at all, it's power over. So anyway, there's my two cents, and what I know about it, I would say, if you're having these things happen, you really want to check it out. You don't want to let these things go too far if you are having this happen, especially if it's ruining your living relationships.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You really don't want that to happen. That is then something that needs to be gotten rid of, because that should never happen. The dead should not be interfering in the relationships of the living. Their time is past, and they should know that.
Good point.
It's like you have a life.
Mm-hmm.
And you are still alive, and it is your life to lead, and you are well within your rights to say, hey, this is my life, not yours, and yours is over now. And
right.
You know, you're... And I would advise that in certain cases.
Sure.
Just say, please, leave me alone. And you can do that with any kind of aggravation that you might get, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can be very, you know, and if it doesn't, well, then get in touch with one of us, and we'll make sure we'll kick its little butt right out the door for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that's phenomenal. Thank you.
Okay, take care. Love you. Love you guys.
All right. Love you, too. Have a great night, Dee. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, that was perfect. Both calls from Deb and Diane. That's awesome. Thank you guys for, bringing all that to light. I don't know why I didn't remember Incubus and Succubus. That's just That's weird. It's like, it was like it just wasn't in my head. I don't know. I guess I'm getting older. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. It's bound to happen, I guess. I just maybe due to having too much in my brain is what I'm thinking. That sounds better anyway. All right, from South Carolina. A few months ago, I was going to take a shower and I needed to get a bar of soap. So I went and grabbed a new bar out of the drawer. And I pulled it out of the box and sat it on the shelf in the shower. And a little while after I had been in the shower, I reached up to grab the soap. And when I pulled it down from the shelf, I realized that it was not in the shape that it originally had been in. The more I examined it, I realized it looked like a large hand and grabbed a new bar and squeezed it really hard. Okay, the more I examined it, I realized it looked like a large hand had grabbed the new bar and squeezed it really hard. It was totally smashed, and I freaked out and started crying, and I called my husband and told him what had happened, and he laughed it off and until he got home and looked at it, and the handprint was even bigger than his. So I threw the soap out. I tried forgetting about the soap, and a couple of days later, I was in the shower, and I had the radio in the bathroom with me, and I had the volume turned up loud so I could hear it when I showered, and the phone rang, so I reached out and grabbed my cell phone, and right before I answered it, my radio turned itself all the way down. A few months passed without anything else happening, and then one night, I was in the kitchen fixing dinner, and I put dinner on the oven and set the timer for about an hour, and I walked away and got on the computer, and while I was waiting, an hour or so later, the timer goes off, and I walk back in the kitchen and open the oven to find out that it has been shut off. I know for a fact that I did not touch it after I turned it on. There was nobody else in the house with me. How did the dial for the oven turn off all by itself? Most recently, it was about 7 in the morning, and I was laying in bed, not wanting to get up, and every time the alarm would go off, I would hit snooze and just lay there, and after about an hour of that, it was getting late, and I still needed to get ready for work, and I knew that if I laid in bed any longer, I would end up being late, so I closed my eyes for a minute, and all of a sudden I heard the voice of my uncle and felt someone smack my forehead. My eyes popped open to see that nobody was there. The crazy part is, my uncle has been dead for 10 years. Needless to say, I got out of bed right after that. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed this. I'm just really thrilled you guys were here and we're taking part of it. Thank you to Diane and Deb for calling in and being a part of the show. I really appreciate your insights on that question. So, all right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. As well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the Paranormal Portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned, but we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.